You know, just before you said what you said, John, I was just sitting there and I was saying, yeah, you know, when we say that, when we sing that part, shout, with a shout, I give you praise. I was just saying that, to myself. I said, yeah, we should be shouting that part, really, because, you know, God is good. I said, God is good. And like John said, irrespective of what may be happening, and everybody has this stuff going on, but we've got God who said he would never leave us nor forsake us. We've got a faithful God who said, listen, I am there with you in the good times and in the bad times. And so because of that, we can have hope. And we can really, really bless the Lord. But I want to share with you this morning just a short exhortation on 10 things about communion. I just want to share with you before we take communion this morning. Just to remind you of a few things. And, you know, when we think of the word communion, as a matter of fact, even our praise this morning flows from something deeper than what's on the surface. And one of the things that we know already is that when we mention the word communion, it's not mentioned a lot of times in the New Testament, but when we mention the word communion, what we think of is two things. Number one, we either think of the communion service that we're having today, or we think of something else. And actually, the word communion comes from the same Greek word for the word fellowship. And that word is the word koinonia. And so before we take communion, I just want to remind you, I just want to share with you 10 different things very quickly about the word communion. Well, first of all, and I'm talking about both things. I'm talking about us taking this communion this morning, but I'm also talking about its meaning, what it means. The word koinonia means a fellowship. It means exchange. It means participation. So communion is more than just going through the moment, through the movements or motions. It's much, much deeper than that. And when you are sharing or participating, your whole being is involved. And that's why the Bible even says when we praise and worship God, we should do it with all that is within us. And we sang that this morning, didn't we? With all that is within me, I will bless your name. I will worship you. I will praise you. And that's what the Lord is looking for from us, really. And so it means also to contribute. It means social intercourse, the word koinonia. It means to share. And so as we come this morning into this communion service, there are 10 things I'm going to share. Number one is this. There can be no communion if there is no life in Christ Jesus. And so it flows out of a life that we have with Jesus Christ. And from that life comes everything that we do, including praise and worship. The reason we're able to worship him in spirit and in truth is because we've got a living relationship with Jesus Christ. So we're not just talking about him, but we know him. So number one, we need to have that relationship. That's a foundation, even for taking the communion table. If you don't know him, you should not be taking the table, the communion, at all. So it flows from an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, it flows from a fellowship with Jesus. So it's one thing to know him, but it's another thing to fellowship with him. Remember, this is important because even going back to the book of Genesis, when God created man, he wanted to have fellowship with man. And the Bible says that he came down and he walked in the garden in the cool of the day to have fellowship with Adam. And so we need to know him, number one. Number two, we need to have fellowship with him, participate with him, share with him, have social intercourse, if you like, with him. We need to participate with him. There needs to be an exchange that is going on in our lives with Christ Jesus. It's not something we put on when we come to church. It's something that we live 24/7. Can I get an amen? Amen? Number three, we need to have a love for Jesus Christ. And that love needs to be flowing in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this leads to number four. Number four is obedience to Jesus. So when we have communion with him, when we really are participating with him, we want to please him. And so we are doing everything that he wants us to do. And so we are obedient, we are obedient to his commands that he gives us. So Jesus said, well, the Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, I believe it is, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat of the fat of the land. You will eat of the best. But you've got to be willing and you've got to be obedient, not just when it suits us, but at all times, in the good times and in the bad times as well, knowing that Jesus has our best interests at heart. Number five, it is impeded by sin. And we see this in the Bible quite clearly, even in the passage that we read about communion. As a matter of fact, I'll read that a little bit. It says, verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, therefore, whoever eats of this bread or drinks of this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood and of the body of the Lord. And so it is impeded by sin. Fellowship is impeded by sin. And that's why when Adam sinned, God made a plan, Genesis 3:15, to send his only begotten son down the course of time to die for us so that we can once again have the fellowship with God that was lost. Because God hates sin. And when sin is there, it breaks fellowship. And so Jesus had to come to restore that. And thank God when we sin today, we can have restoration through the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, can I get a loud amen? Because that's good news right there. All right? But please understand that communion can be and is impeded by sin in our lives. But number six, thank God for the regenerated work of repentance. So when we sin, we have a place where we can come and we can repent for our sins. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? Some unrighteousness? No, from all unrighteousness. And so when we come and we confess our sins, understand that the blood of Jesus Christ shed so many years ago still avails today, and it forgives our sins. It takes it away. It doesn't cover it like in the Old Testament times, but it takes it away so that we can once again have fellowship with God. Isn't God good, church? I mean, when you think about it, he's really good. God didn't have to do what he did by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. But because he loved us so much, that's what he did. He paid the price by sending his only begotten son so that once again we can have fellowship with him. So communion is absolutely important, and it is demonstrated, number seven, in our being grounded in the word to commitment. Sorry, I said that so wrong. It is, communion is demonstrated, okay, in our commitment to the word of God. That's better. It is demonstrated in our commitment to the word of God. Okay, so because we say we love you, Lord, and because we say, Father, we want to have fellowship with you, we are now saying, we've got no choice but to do what God's word says. We've got no choice but to study God's word, to know his word, and to know his precepts, his commands, his instructions from his word, so that the Holy Spirit can use that word inside of us and guide us in life, in all things, no matter what it is that we're going through. Are you with me today? Yeah? So, you know, we have, again, we have the word of God, and we demonstrate our commitment to God by showing him or proving to ourselves that we love him by knowing his word. And that's why 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman, a workwoman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you see, this word and our commitment to it is also a demonstration of our fellowship or of our need or our want or our desire to fellowship with Jesus Christ. And that was number six. That was number seven. Yes, number seven, grounded, committing to the word. Number eight, demonstrated by service to others. Okay, so because we have communion with Jesus Christ, you know what? You're going to want, it's intrinsic. You have got to serve others. You cannot be a Christian who knows God, is in fellowship with God, and then you don't care about others. No. It's not intrinsic. It's not the way of God. And if we've got the Spirit of God inside of us, there's going to be something that's driving us toward doing just that. And so we demonstrate our communion, okay, to the Lord Jesus Christ by or through service to others. And that's why there's so much, the Bible is filled with so much scriptures, you know, around that, you know, about caring for one another, about showing love and concern for one another, about being there and standing for one another, supporting one another, upholding one another, exhorting one another, holding each other's hands and weeping when they weep, laugh when they laugh. It's an empathy that actually flows from the life of the Spirit inside of us, where you feel for your brothers and you feel for your sisters, and you are committed, if you like now, to demonstrating your love for the Lord by serving or through service to others. And number 9, communion, our communion with God is tested through persecution and suffering. Persecution and suffering. Because things will not, and you know this, every single one of us, we know this by now, things does not always go the way that we want it to go. Life doesn't pan out like that. It has the good and it has the bad. Yeah? It's a package deal. And so whether we like it or not, well, Jesus himself said it. He said that in this world you will have what? Tribulation. That's all the words of Jesus, Matthew 16:33. In this world, you will have tribulation. And that word tribulation is the word thlipsis, which is trouble, pressure, trials, testings. In this world, you are going to have it. But Jesus went on in that verse to say, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So because you're going through it, doesn't mean you need to walk along the life with a long face or be depressed. Be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. And God has made it possible for us to overcome the world through faith in him, through our life that we have in him, through the Holy Spirit, through his word, through all the support systems that we have around us and in us. You know, folks, Peter said it. He said that we have all things, or God has made all things available to us that pertains to life and godliness. Everything has been made available to us. And then again, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no matter what we're going through, you know, there's no trouble, there's no temptation that is taking you but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will, with that trouble, with that trial, with that temptation, make a way of escape so that you will be able to bear it. In other words, folks, whatever you are going through, you can bear it. You can overcome. It will not overcome you in Jesus' name. And the only thing that will allow that is you. So don't talk about the devil. Because the God has given you authority over the devil. Luke 10:17. So we've got authority over him. And if he seems to be carving a thing over us, then hang on a minute. That means that I'm not taking the authority that God has given me and using that authority over all the works of the enemy. Because the Bible says that you are triumphant. You are more than conquerors. You are victors. Can you say that with me? I am victorious in Jesus' name. Say with me, I am more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus. And that's not me, that's God's word. So we're just repeating what God has said in his word. So yeah, we will be tested. And there will be suffering. I mean, you look in the Bible. Look in your Bible. And you look in the Old Testament, look in the New. And you see God's people suffering. You see God's people going through trials and going through all different things. Why should it be any different for us? We are a target of the enemy. And we are a target from people that do not know Christ. And so when that happens, folks, we should not be surprised. But we should know that we are God's children, that God is with us. No matter what is happening to us, what matters is what is happening in us. Not what happening to you, but what is happening in you. And the Holy Ghost is in you, and the Word of God is working in you, and you know who you are in Christ, then you can walk and live in confidence. And number 10, the 10th thing about communion is that we are strengthened through it with consistent prayer. I've often said that a Christian who is not praying is plain, man. And prayerlessness is not weakness, it is sin. There's no such thing as a born-again believer, okay, living in the life of the Spirit who is not praying. And so our prayer life has to be vibrant, our prayer life has to be real. It cannot be superficial, but it has to be coming from deep down within. And there are times when you have to dig deep down to bring out from your spirit what you need to bring to God. And that's what God hears. The prayer that is coming from the heart. The prayer that is coming from a deep down within. And we can take joy from the fact that, folks, we are strengthened. The Holy Spirit will strengthen us and our communion, our walk with God, irrespective of what may be going on, will be strengthened. And so therefore, you can see far beyond the now. The now may not look nice, but you can see far beyond the now. And you can have hope because of what you see. That God is coming, that things will be better, that change is on the way. How many people believe change is on the way? No, how many people believe God is going to do wonderful things? Man, I'm telling you, watch this space and see. God is doing His work and His business. And all we need to do, folks, is just to make sure that we are in true communion with Him. Make sure that we're doing that. Make sure that the life that we're living is not just something that we put on, but is something that is real deep down, and that everything that you are doing is coming from a true and a right place in God. Because I'm telling you that the God who you worship sees and knows everything, every single thing, and He will reward accordingly in Jesus' name. And so we ought to have hope. I said we ought to have hope. We ought to be joyful. We ought to be happy, man. Our disposition ought to be one that really pleases God. We don't want to come before God with a sad disposition. No, you come with joy. You come with thanksgiving. You come with gratitude. You come with excitement. You come with happiness. You come with everything, because you are coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know who He is. And you know what He's done for you in the past. And if He's done that for you in the past, guess what? He will do that for you now. Come on, church. He will do that for you in the name of Jesus. And so we're coming with Him with a confidence. A confidence. We're not coming with, you know, a doubt. We're not coming with fear. But we're coming with a confidence, knowing that God is with us. Amen. And I want to encourage you that God is with you. He sees everything, everything. What we don't see, what people don't see, your family members don't see, God sees. He sees. And I want to remind you today that He loves you with an everlasting love. And so hold on to that love in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Because change is coming. Change is coming. Do me a favor. Can we stand up on our feet?